in 2017, actors Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman announced they were separating. Recently, in an interview with AARP, the Taxi star told the publication he and Rhea talk to each other on a daily basis, go to each other's homes frequently, and have no plans to divorce. Now, what does it mean to be estranged? Should you legally protect yourself even if you're staying close friends? And are there any risks of remaining separated without finalizing a divorce? Well, joining us to explain is Andrea Friedman, a partner at the New York law firm of Friedman & Friedman. Andrea has over 15 years of experience as both a litigator and a collaborative attorney. She also served as the state director for the Women's Bar Association of the state of New York on behalf of the Westchester Women's Bar Association, and she's a member of the New York Association of Collaborative Professionals. Andrea, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy to have you. As we said in the open, Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman announced that they were separating back in 2017, but never filed for divorce. Now, although they live in California and you practice here in New York, can a couple stay permanently separated, or are there legal issues when it comes to this type of arrangement?
So this is such a hot topic question, and I'm so glad that we're here today to talk about it. The first thing that every listener needs to know is it's going to depend on what state you live in. All of the laws pertaining to your marriage originate out of which state is your primary residence. So full disclosure, everything I'm going to talk about today is based upon what I know, and we live in New York. It could depend upon your state and it could be different. But in New York, the idea of being separated when you're thinking about a legal separation actually means there's a physical written agreement that resolves all of the financial issues out of your divorce in a written agreement. It's almost like having a divorce agreement. It's just you're not processing it as a final divorce.
If a couple has been separated for a long period of time, or maybe they're deciding just to separate and figure out if they want to get divorced, can the lower earning spouse still seek spousal support and child support?
So the answer is going to be yes, right? So again, let's go back to Danny DeVito and his situation. If two parties are physically separated, meaning they're not legally separated, they're just living in two separate homes, living their life. If they were here in New York, they're still married. And so all of the marital obligations and marital rights are still attached to them, even though they don't live in the same home. And so while they may be on a day-to-day basis living separate and apart and functioning on their own independent lives, the law still looks at them and recognizes them as being in that economic partnership, and therefore they still have all the same entitlements. So it's not as if, well, we haven't lived together for a few years, I no longer have any legal rights or obligations. There may be arguments that may affect what they would be going forward because of the new status quo you created, but you are still in a marriage in the eyes of the law, and all of the rights and obligations are still attached.
So when you do the calculations for, let's say, child support, are they different if you're separated versus if you're divorced?
No. I mean, realistically speaking, in order for you to be formally legally separated, for example, in New York, like I said, you need to have a full written agreement which resolves all the financial issues, which are essentially the same that you would need to get a divorce. And a lot of times when I speak to people and they say, well, I want a legal separation, I say, well, let's talk about what the goal is here of why you want to be separated versus what a divorce would be, because while they have maybe a different emotional impact, from a legal standpoint, you got to talk about the same stuff. You have to resolve the same issues. So you're still on a similar track. Child support is one of those issues. So in New York, and it's got a similarity in each state, there's a formula that looks at parties' incomes, and it takes into account who the child lives with, and it looks at the reasonable needs and the lifestyle of the child, and that's all factored into either the formula or the factors that the court is going to consider. But if you have a child who is unemancipated, so in New York that's under 21, some states it's under 18, you're going to have a legal obligation to support your child whether you're separated or divorced. It's not going to change. The only time it could be impacted is if you remain in an intact household, because then the law says, well, I don't know who this child is living with and therefore who the non-residential parent is to pay child support. But if you're in Danny DeVito's situation and you live in two physically separate homes, there's going to be a child support obligation.
His kids are grown. They even have grandchildren together. But if you do have minor children, do you also have to come up with a parenting agreement or even a temporary custody arrangement?
So again, the answer is probably. So if you want to be legally separated, yes, because again, you need that formal legal agreement, and that's going to include custody and parenting time. You also don't have to have a full legal separation agreement if you just have two people who don't live together and they want to make sure that they have an agreement on when they're going to each spend time with their child, then yeah, you're going to want to have a custody and parenting time plan and you're going to want to have that written up. You also get people who were never married who share a child in common and there's two households and they also have custody plans in place that they have in written agreements or worst case, they go to court and they fight about it. So that concept is always also going to be there whenever you have minor children under the age of 18.
If one spouse is covered under the other's employer-sponsored health insurance, can that coverage continue if they are legally separated, or is it like a divorce and now you have to go out and find your own?
So this is such a great question and so important for this topic. So remember I said before that you need to figure out what someone's goals are, why would they want to be separated versus divorced. One of the main reasons that people will say, I just want to have a separation agreement, I don't want to have a decree, I don't want to get a divorce, is because of the health insurance. Because as you just said, if you are divorced and you're no longer spouses, you cannot be on the other person's health insurance anymore. So let's say you do want to make sure you keep the health insurance in place and the other spouse is fine with that. You would just enter a separation agreement. You're going to want to check with the type of health insurance plan that it is to make sure there's no, you know, fine print that you're in violation of. But in a normal sitting, in a situation, you're going to have a separation agreement. You're not going to be divorced, therefore you're spouses, and you can stay on the other one's health insurance. Another idea that you could do if you don't want to actually be separated, but you want to have a financial contract that at least governs how all the property would be split up or maybe any spousal support claims, is a postnuptial agreement. That's another way to address some financial concerns going forward in the event of a divorce when you're not going to be living together.
You talk about the couple's finances. What happens if they have, let's say, a joint checking account or a joint savings account? During a separation, can either side use it?
Of course they can. Of course they can. And again, let's keep going back to, are we saying they're just physically separated, like living their lives separated, or are they separated because there's been a written agreement? If there's been a written agreement and there's a joint account in place, I'm going to make the assumption that the agreement governs what's supposed to happen with that checking account and why it's still remaining open, how it's going to be used, and what happens to the money when it's closed. But if you and your spouse just decide we're not going to live together anymore and we're going to have one joint account to pay all the bills, then you each have essentially what, you know, could be called grab rights. I can take the money out. You could take the money out. There's no rules or anything specifically governing it. But again, if we then go and we're getting a divorce, all the assets that exist at the time the divorce is filed, at least in the state of New York, are going to be part of the marital pot that has to be divided up as part of equitable distribution.
The Taxi Star told AARP, and we mentioned this in the beginning, that the couple have no plans to divorce. But let's say you have a couple that is legally separated, and then they decide to file for a divorce. Can they use what's been in the agreement during their separation and apply it to now what's going to be their divorce decree?
Of course, right. So in New York State, you technically need a ground to get divorced. It's essentially become irrelevant once we enacted our version of no fault, which we call irretrievable breakdown. But one of the other grounds is that you're living separate and apart for at least a year pursuant to a separation agreement. So it's very common that people will enter separation agreements and live pursuant to it for at least 1 year or more, and then they will use that agreement to convert it into a final divorce. And so whatever you negotiated initially and is written in the document ultimately becomes your divorce agreement.
In your experience as both a litigator and doing collaborative, is it sometimes helpful? Can it be favorable and even more friendly to first separate and then divorce because maybe everybody's on more common ground?
Yeah, I think it depends upon everyone's goals. I think when you're getting divorced, and then this can also be true for a separation, so let's say if you're ending your marriage, it's very emotional, and there's a lot of different phases that people go through as they separate. And so it's one of those things where you're trying to make sure the goals and objectives are being met, right? So, for example, if one of the goals is to keep the health insurance in place for some period of time, either for economic or medical reasons, that would be a reason that you would consider a separation. Perhaps in the eyes of the law, it's better off to still be financially linked because of tax purposes. You want to be able to file joint tax returns. That might be a reason to say for a while we're going to stay separated. But it really depends upon what everybody's, you know, interests and goals are. And ultimately, those types of situations require an agreement as opposed to what a court would do, which is not obviously keep you legally married. They're going to divorce you.
Great advice. Jay, Andrea, for people who want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you and your team at Friedman & Friedman?
You can find us at AndreaBFriedman.com or SariFriedman.com. We're located in New York. Our number is 914-686-8258. Thank you so much for having me today, Alyssa. It's been wonderful.
Going through a divorce, you don't have to face it alone. Andrea Friedman is a divorce attorney who understands that divorce is more than just paperwork. It's your life, your family, your future. Andrea helps clients navigate divorce with clarity, compassion, and strategy. From child custody to property division, Andrea Friedman will fight for your rights and work to protect what matters most to you. She knows every case is personal, and every client deserves a lawyer who listens, explains options clearly, and guides you every step of the way. She helps you make informed decisions without stress and confusion. Don't wait. Call Andrea Friedman today at 914-686-8258 for a consultation and take the first step towards a new chapter in your life. Because even in divorce, you deserve support, respect, and especially results. That's 914-686-8258. Andrea Friedman, your advocate for a fair and confident tomorrow. 914-686-8258. That's 914-686-8258.